Song 290, we sang, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus of Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. You know, we serve, we stand here, and what is presented as we went through the Sunday school hour, through the devotional, is about Jesus and what he has done for me and for you. Without that, there is nothing that I can stand and boast about. Nothing. But it's only what he has done for me and washed me clean. And he can do the same for you, and he has done the same for you. And may we keep living in that. I greet you in Jesus' name this morning, the one that gave his life for us. As I pondered what to share this morning, I pondered on an Old Testament passage, and so that's where we're going to go to. And I wanted to bring an object lesson, but I didn't have one that was good enough. I didn't feel to bring. But I trust that you as children can relate to this and know what I'm talking about. How many of you children know what an axe is? Is there anybody that doesn't know what an axe is? Most little boys know. Maybe not so much girls, but your mom, when you pick up an axe, it's something that's sharp and you use it to cut wood. Your mom say, oh, be careful with this. You might chop your finger off or something. It's dangerous. And so I'm talking about an Old Testament passage that has an axe in it. Now, somebody want to tell me what that story is? Back there. You got it. When the end of the axe fell off into the water. Thank you for that, Dustin. All right, now somebody maybe a little older want to tell us where in the Old Testament it's found. Put you to a little Bible quiz. Well, let's start with a different question. Which prophet was it? Elisha, okay? Somebody know the passage? It's all right. There we go, 2 Kings. So you can turn your Bibles to 2 Kings. And we know this account. I'm just going to give a little history of what leads up to this account. And 2 Kings chapter 6 is where you're going to be turning to. But as we come into 2 Kings, we have Elisha taking over the work from Elijah, that prophet of God. And he had asked in 2 Kings chapter 1, I believe it is, where he asked for that double portion. Elisha asked for that double portion to be handed on to him from Elijah. And we know that was granted to him. If he saw Elijah go up, that double portion was going to be given to him. And as Elijah went up and Elisha saw him going, they had just crossed over a river, and Elijah had taken a mantle and smote that water, and they walked across on dry ground. And as Elijah went up, this mantle fell down, and Elisha picked it up. And the first test that Elisha had as he came back to that river there, and he's walking back alone, is to take that mantle, and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he smote that water, and it parted. I wonder how that affected the life and the ministry of Elisha. Just wonder that. We come into this account, and we go through 2 Kings, through the different chapters. And I was reading that, I just am always amazed how Elisha had a life of service to people. That was his life. As he was called of God and he picked up that mantle and he went out, he did that. He was there to help people. Chapter 3, we had some kings in distress. They came to Elisha. He helped them through that. He was that, I didn't bring my Sunday school book lesson up here, but I highlighted in mine, it said that the Holy Spirit was sometimes spoke to prophets. That was Elisha. He was one of the prophets. As you wonder, the kings wondered what was going to happen, Elisha had the answer for them. And we come to chapter 4. We have a widow that was about to to lose her two sons to some bondmen. And she came, she was in such a strait, she needed some help. There was Elisha. That's where she turned to. And he had the answer for her. And he helped her through that. The chapter 4, maybe about the middle of the chapter there, we have the Shunammite woman. Again, we know these accounts. But this is the man Elisha, that Shunammite woman. She wanted a son, and Elisha said, "You'll have a son." But we know that son, all of a sudden one day out in the field as a young man, he said, "Oh, my head, my head." And they carried him in from the field and he died. And the Shunammite woman sent for Elisha. Here comes Elisha and he brings the boy back to life. A prophet that was a helpful person. Chapter 4, the last part of it, there's a famine in the land, the people are hungry. And we have that account where he told his servant, "Put on the pot, and we are going to make a pottage for these people so that they can eat." And they're grinding stuff up in to make this stew, and they get something that's poison. And you don't usually fix poison in pottage by dumping in more ingredients. But that's what happened. Elisha said, bring me some meal. He dumped it in. And they ate it. And they were fine. He also had some bread brought there that was loaves that just multiplied so everybody had enough. And some to spare. That's this man we're talking about. This is this Elisha. Chapter 5, Naaman the leper comes to him for healing. We know that account that Elisha told him, "Go wash in the river." And now he didn't want to do that, but his servants convinced him, Naaman, to go wash in that river. And he came healed. And he tried to pay Elisha for it. And Elisha said, "It's not me, it's God." He wouldn't take pay for it. But it doesn't stop there. This man Elisha, as he didn't take pay, his servant, the one that was helping him, ran after it and said, "Gehazi, I said, I want... There's some visitors here. We'd like to give them some." Elisha, he knew that. You see, that Holy Spirit was working in his life. As a prophet, he knew that. He now, in the last part of chapter 5, has to deal. He no longer just has a sick man that he has healed. He also has to deal with his servant Gehazi. He pronounces leprosy on him. And he has a leprous white as snow. And so that's a little, I share that not because that's our message, but it builds up to who Elisha was and to the miracle that's going to happen in chapter 6. Because it's a miracle. We need to look at it as that. And so we're going to read chapter 6 now, starting at verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and then they came to Jordan. They cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore he said, Take it up to thee and put it out. And he put out his hand and took it." Cease reading there. This is the account we want to look at this morning. And I've titled my message three words: Where fell it? Where fell it? And we're going to take this and we're going to expound on this passage here, and try to bring some present-day applications to this as we think about this miracle that happened here and how it can apply to us today. Elisha, a man of God, he lived his life as a life of service, as Jesus did when he was on this earth. I'm not into types and shadows, but as I look at the example Elisha did as he gave him himself and served people, that was Jesus. Exactly what Jesus did for the good of other people. He was always helping the poor and needy. We today are called to be little Christ. We need to be doing the same. helping those about us. In this account here in chapter 6, Elisha is staying with the sons of the prophets. Some Bible scholars, it doesn't say that in my studies here, some Bible scholars feel that this was a place, as he was staying with the sons of the prophets, it was a place where these sons of the prophets got schooling. And so maybe Elisha was there to learn some things as well. I don't know that. But there was a problem here. The building was too small. A few of us remember Tim's basement. It would have been too small for a crowd this size. Okay, we know what too small buildings are. You can't fit all the people in, and that's what they were at. The building was too small. The number of people had outgrown their building. What do people do in these situations? Exactly what they did here. Or else they move away. But they looked at options to meet the need. And they come to Elisha, this man of God, and says, "Should we go build bigger?" He said, "Go. That's a thing to do." And these willing workers went to head to the forest for building material. They carried their chainsaws. No. If you're going to build a building in that time, you needed an axe. It's very important because they didn't have chainsaws. And so this axe was very, very important. It was a tool he needed. I've listed the titles for these points that I have, or if you want to call them points. We're going to look at the need first. Then we're going to look at the trial, the problem. We're going to look at the question that the title is, "Where fell it?" And then we're going to look at the solution. So for those of you taking notes, that's what we're going to look at here. And so we think about this need. They're going to build a building. There is a need for tools. I like tools. Tools are helpful. Most of us men do. You women like tools as well in the kitchen, mixers and all that. Tools cost money, though. They might not be readily available. Maybe you can't afford it. You don't usually just go pick them up alongside the road. You can sometimes. But for these men here, they had axes to cut down trees. And this man that was using it, I don't know if he didn't have the money to buy an axe or whether there was no availability for it. I don't know that. But they were using an axe and he borrowed one. Things were going well. Trees were being cut down and being made suitable for building. Everyone was working together. That's beautiful life, isn't it? There is needs being fulfilled. Everything is taking shape as man sees it. Let's go to the second part. Let's think about this trial, this problem. Trouble strikes. A worker has an accident. His borrowed axe head flies off the handle and lands in the water. What does metal do in water, children? What does metal do in water? What do you think? It sinks. It goes to the bottom. The Jordan River is probably the river it was. It's at the bottom. You can't see it. It's gone. Humanly speaking, I don't believe they have metal detectors to find it. It sinks to the bottom. We don't know how deep this water was where they were at. But as I view this account in 2 Kings chapter 6, in this man's eyes, the axe head was lost. And it was a borrowed one. Now what are you going to do? You see, if he didn't have money to buy an axe head before, or he couldn't get one because they weren't readily available, where's he going to find the funds to replace one that's lost? Because you don't want to just say, "Well, sorry, I lost your axe. Too bad for you." It doesn't work that way. Your parents hopefully teach that to you, that if you ruin somebody else's toy or something, you replace it or try to make it right. Well, that's what needed to happen in this account. There's a trial, there's a problem. This water, this axe head had fallen off and it is lost. And he says, alas, for it was borrowed, and for from man's perspective, it was helplessly lost. Do we today have trials where axe head falls off? And not for you children, that's not saying that we are chopping down trees with axes. I'm talking about trials that can come that can feel like are just the same as it was for this man that he lost his axe head. Trials hit us and shake us. The world that we thought we had under control, that we are building to meet the needs, has suddenly become out of control. Or it feels that way. It's out of our control anyhow. And as I pondered that, I couldn't help but thinking of some examples that we had this, as I think about it, this past year. And I know some of these were mentioned already. I'm just going to just highlight them again. Preston's accident, Edwin and Louise's accident, Katie's accident, Ed's health journey, Heidi's health journey, Rhoda's health journey, got the broken bones, Adina, Miriam, Dexter. Life just sometimes seems like it's out of control, right? These are trials. These are trials that come our way. Yes. But what I want to highlight in this point is they're trials, not a problem for God. I titled this point, Trials or Problems. What I mentioned is trials, but it's not a problem for God. This man asked the right person. He asked Elisha, and he's the man that could answer the problem. Yes, because he was in touch with God, but he could answer the problem. Because that's who Elisha was. As he was living his life and serving God, he was that man that could help the people. Now, I would like to just look a little bit, turn this a little bit to what is a problem then? You said trials or problems. I'm talking about, I think it's a problem when it's a spiritual problem. It's no longer a trial. But if you don't have your anchor fastened like we talked about, then it's a problem. When these trials come, they overwhelm us. We don't know where to go. But when we have our roots anchored down into and we're rooted and grounded in Jesus, we know where to go. Spiritual life is to go without spiritual life is a problem. And when we look at our lives, is it growing or dying? You see, it's a personal look. I need to look at my own life. You need to look at your own life. Spiritually, am I living? Is my spiritual life growing or is it dying? With that comes the fact that are we living victorious? You see, if we've gone through baptismal class, you made some vows that are very foundational. You made a commitment you can't go back on. And to look at our lives and say, I'm not growing, I'm dying. We're not maintaining true to our baptismal vows. Are we living victorious lives or not? You see, that makes it whether it's a problem or not. What about marriage? Some of us are married. We also made commitments at our wedding day. We made vows. How is our married life operating? We have trials in marriage. Some, okay, maybe there's some that don't. Smiths do, okay? It takes work. But if you're not working on it and you're letting the devil take a hold of it and to destroy the commitments you made in your marriage vows, you have a problem. It's no longer just a trial. You may feel like it's a trial in life because of the struggles that can come with it. But if it's not operating as God would have it to, and what your vows that you committed to one another is, it's a problem. Let's look at our title. The question, Elisha's question is, where fell it? As a man of God viewed the situation, he said, where fell it? Where's the problem? We knew the problem was that it was borrowed because he told the man of God. But the man of God wanted the man to do something about it. And that is that personal talk, or the personal look that I talked about earlier. To look within. And this man had to do that. As the man of God said to him, where fell it? What did it say? And he showed him the place. You see, it was important for that man that this axe head was found. It was very important to him. And he showed him the place. Well, we know as Elisha can be, as I think about him living out life and helping people and maybe kind of trying to liken him to how Jesus has helped people. And as Jesus helps us today, Jesus knows all of our trials. He knows all our problems. Whatever they are. It don't matter. He knows them all. He doesn't need us to tell him where it is, but he still asks that of us. I believe it's the same. He would ask us the same question this morning as what was asked at that time. Where fell it? He wants you and I to evaluate in our own lives where our relationship is, personally. He wants us to evaluate whether we are growing or whether we're falling away. He wants us to evaluate that. He already knows. But you see, when we answer that question of where fell it, it helps us to understand and to work on what needs to be built. This question is one that we can take to the human race about us. Where fell it? Where did sin enter the world? It's back at the Garden of Eden. What can we do about sin? Avail ourselves to the provisions of Christ. You see, that fell back there in the Garden of Eden. The first parents in the world fell into sin. And from that time on, all the descendants are sinners. Can't get away from it. It's a question the whole human race can ask. And we can answer that and point them to the truth. That's where it fell at. As we bring this question to our Christian life, how is my relationship with the Lord today? Is it stronger than what it was yesterday? Or the day before? Or the week before? Or the year? Or 5 years? 10 years? You put the years that are there Are you growing? Are you closer to the Lord today than you were back then? What is your love for Christ like? What is your longing to do His will? In our Sunday school lesson, we talked about if you love, keep His commandments. How am I doing on it? Is my love growing? Is your hunger for the Bible and Christian fellowship growing? Do you desire to have others know your Lord? Or is it missing in your life? And if it's missing, where fell it? You can't point the blame at somebody else. It's a personal choice. How did you become so lukewarm? How did you become not on fire for the Lord? What is the reason for your decline in spiritual life? What's the reason that you're not living true to the vows you've made at baptism? Where fell it? Your marriage is struggling. Where fell it? Whose problem is it? That's the question we need to be asking ourselves. Let's look at the solution now. Not every trial, as I pondered the solution, not every trial in life seems to have such an easy fix as this one did. Here's the man of God. He just comes down there, and what did it say? He cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. There you go. Just reverse the laws of nature. Instead of the iron going to the bottom, it's going to bob to the top like an ice cube. I don't know totally how that was, but just stretch your imagination a little bit. It seems like such an easy fix. I mean, all you have to do is cut down a stick, throw it in the water, and it'll fix everything. Wouldn't we like that today? If we could just have a stick that we could wave over everything and we could fix everything. That's not the way it is. But we do serve a God that can fix everything that simple. And when you get your life in tune with Him and in right standing with Him, the rest will follow. What did it take as Elisha cut that stick down, threw it into the river? It took faith. I don't know what entered into his mind as he cut that stick down, because as I throw sticks into water, it don't do any different, and I'm not sure I could even know where to throw it or if I could hit the spot if somebody pointed it out to me. But there we have it. It took faith on this man's part that God was going to do a work by throwing that stick in there. It took faith. It takes the same for us today. I believe this stick that you can cut down, you can take it and picture a cross. There was wood there on that cross. And Jesus provided salvation on that cross. That stick can be a type of that. Jesus is the answer for all the troubles we face and can face. We need to get back to the message of the cross, because that's the answer for trials and troubles. There's room at the cross for everyone. There's none left out. And with that cross comes, we know what happened at the cross. It was the redemption for each and every one of us. Fallen people can be born again and made new. Failures can be forgiven, and we can press on again. It took faith. The same as it does when you look at the cross today. It takes faith. What else did it take? It took trust in God. touched on it already, but as we think about Elisha, as he took up that mantle that fell from Elijah, he took that and he went back there, and in his first experience with him alone, he took that mantle and said, "Where's the Lord God of Elijah?" And God answered that. And the same is true for us today as we take one step at a time. We can learn to trust God more and more. And God help us to do that. So we have the solution. Faith and trust in God. That's what we need today. No matter whether your axe head fell off and you have a trial like that, or whether you find yourself with the trouble of sin wanting to reign in your life, you need it. I believe this man, as he was hewing down his beam, and the axe head went flying. The axe head comes floating, and he reaches out and takes it back. I believe he picked up that axe and went back to work. I don't know how he held it back on that handle, but I really believe that it can be a type of us today. When we fail, when we make a mistake, let's just say what it is, when we fall into sin, get back up. Put the axe back on the handle and let's go again. My challenge to each and every one of us this morning is not that I felt that we needed a message of warning as much as I needed it myself. In other words, what I'm saying is I didn't feel like the congregation here needs it as much as I needed it myself. Because I'm so human. May God help us as we look at our lives to say, where fell it? How is my relationship? Am I building stronger, closer to God every day? If not, why? Let's kneel for prayer.